Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now you have this situation where the Dallas Cowboys just moved on from their best defensive player, their best football player. And while he'll never admit it, they did that because they signed a bad quarterback contract. And I think the question that we won't know for a handful more of years is, will this have a domino effect around the league? Will there be a hesitancy to sign quarterbacks out of their rookie deal to these massive contracts? Like, there's rarely, like, what was the last reasonable contract you remember a quarterback signing?
Brock Purdy.
Was Brock Purdy reasonable? I mean, not. I don't want to suggest that Brock Purdy was unreasonable. Brock Purdy is, he's $50 million. Like, he's not an outrageous contract, but he's in the upper echelon of contracts. What I mean, when was the last time a starting quarterback in the NFL who you believed in signed for $30 million a year?
Well, was it Tom Brady who was always taking pay cuts?
It was Brady absolutely was signing value contracts.
I don't know anyone since then.
I mean, if we're keeping it a stack, Patrick Mahomes signed a team-friendly deal. I mean, being more honest, Patrick Mahomes' contract is kind of trash. Like, at some point, and I mean, and maybe he won't, maybe he doesn't care. But at some point, I think he, whatever first year he can, one of those two entities, either it's Mahomes' team or the Chiefs, they're going to opt out of that deal. The question is Patrick Mahomes going to sign another team-friendly deal, or is he going to say, no, pay me? Zabo's got a good one. Baker Mayfield. So the thing about Baker, that's a good one, Zabo. Baker's 3 years, $100 million. I don't remember what the guarantee was. Maybe the guarantee was $100 million. Thanks for that, Zabo. That's a good call right there. Because Baker, people that weren't sure what he was as a quarterback. Like, they weren't sure how much legs he had left as a quarterback. And when Baker Mayfield had that seat, I was like, yo, I think he's going to get a deal. And I think he's going to get a deal upwards of $100 million. And he wound up getting a deal at $100 million, but he's also, I'm going to stop, Baker's not a journeyman quarterback, but he was a quarterback looking for his home. That's a good one. There aren't very many of those. I remember Tannehill's Tennessee contract was like, that's a reasonable contract. But over the, 32 jobs, how many of them have signed those deals? I mean, you have Flacco's. You have guys that aren't franchise quarterbacks. Like, I think Baker's going to be their guy, going to be Tampa Bay's guy for the foreseeable future. Now, whether that's 3 years, 4 years, like he's going to be their quarterback. But, like, Flacco's the quarterback for a year in Cleveland. He's a stopgap. Like, we know that. Like, There's a handful of those. You know, Derek Carr wasn't going to be the Saints franchise quarterback last year. He was never going to be. Or this year. What year? Is this the year Derek Carr retired? I can't even remember.
Yeah,
He just retired this offseason.
Shout out Spencer Rattler 2 times.
But is it?
For about a year until Arch Manning
gets
right.
That's right. That's 100% what it is. And we talked about this yesterday as it pertains to Arch. Like, I'm hyped for tomorrow. I'm hyped to watch him play at Ohio State. But I'm also really anxious what, like, week 10 and on in the NFL season looks like. Because there's going to be Victor Wembanyama levels of tanking here. The difference between Vic and Arch is, Vic, you're trying to improve your chances. With Arch, you're securing the number one spot. The Saints stink. Them marching Spentler Rash, that's fine. Whatever. There's going to be a handful of teams that are going to be bad for the first 10 weeks of the season. And there's going to be a select few that are going to be god-awful the final 8 weeks of the season. The question is, who will that be? Because last year, use the Raiders for example. Last year, the Las Vegas Raiders had the number one pick in the draft with, what, 5 weeks left in the season? 6 weeks left in the season? And they went on to win games. I think someone did... I'll have to go back and look. Did Chicago win a game? Someone won a game late that sent Tennessee up to the number one spot. None of that stuff is happening this year. I'll stick with the Raiders as the example. If the Raiders have the number one pick, if they are slotted at the number one pick with 5 weeks left in the season, there is 0.0% chance they win another football game. They'll bench everybody in sight. They'll march a practice squad out there before they lose that number one overall pick. Whether it's Vic or LeBron or whoever. Now, the funny thing is, this is quarterbacking. This is a quarterback going to a bad football team. It's not the same as LeBron James going to a bad Cleveland Cavaliers team or Victor Wembanyama going to a bad San Antonio Spurs team. Because you can control, Vic can control a lot of things out there on the field, or out there on the court, I should say. LeBron can control a lot of things. He doesn't have to rely on the four other guys to do anything. Doesn't mean they're going to win a bunch of games, but it means he can control everything. The quarterback on a bad football team has to rely on his offensive line not to get killed. I have been critical of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has been worthy of mountains of criticism. However, Jacksonville as an organization sucks, and he had to survive Urban Meyer. I'll stall him out a little bit, but he doesn't get stalled out anymore. He needs to play well this year. The Panthers, the Jets, horrible organizations. Awful and terrible for quarterbacks. Talked with Kyle Madsen yesterday about the amount of organizations that destroy quarterbacks. There are more bad organizations than there are bad quarterbacks. These bad organizations turn fine quarterbacks into bad ones. The Jets and the Panthers are evidence of that. It's one of the reasons I'm so fascinated by Seattle this year. I want to see what Sam Darnold does with Seattle. Because Seattle's not Minnesota, but they're not a bad football team either. Like, if Sam Darnold is really, like, if he's actually good, he could elevate them. And I'm curious to see that. But that's the difficulty. When you have a prize, and that's Trevor Lawrence, is for how many years did we hear Trevor Lawrence was the one?
That was Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but Andrew Luck, so there were just starting to be questions about, hey, is Andrew Luck going to get something done? Andrew Luck was the one, though. Andrew Luck was really good. Amazingly, didn't win the Heisman Trophy, didn't win Rookie of the Year either. But Andrew Luck was great. The questions about his ability to win started to bubble up right before retirement. And unfortunately, he retired when I think the Colts might have had one of their best teams. But you're right. Andrew Luck dealt with, you know, various versions of that Indianapolis Colts team. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. You might have a quarterback that might be great, but if your organization isn't on point, where are you going with that quarterback? Arch in New Orleans, I don't think of the New Orleans organization the way I do Carolina or New York. But the race to land that number one pick next year is going to be insane. Absolutely insane. And there will be these teams, though, and you'll start to see things like trades, like almost like NBA teams shedding cap right before free agency started because they want to sign a max player. Because they know you land that one, you've got to start spending money, and you've got to start spending a lot of it. Because you've got to protect him, and you've got to get him weapons. And the new thing is, you have to win or get really, really close to it within that rookie contract. Because if you don't win in the first couple of years of that extension, you start to look like, well, maybe we can't do this and we can't keep re-signing players to these massive contracts. Maybe that's where the Dallas Cowboys are. They re-signed Dak to that ridiculous contract, signed CeeDee Lamb as one of the top wide receivers, as one of the top paid wide receivers in the NFL, and then chose to not pay Micah. You talk about quarterbacks, young quarterbacks. I asked, what are some unanswered questions heading into Thursday? They said they aren't, but would the Colts at least attempt to trade Anthony Richardson? And I don't know if, I don't think Anthony Richardson is a victim of a bad organization. I think Anthony Richardson has some questions.
Might not be very good.
Yeah, that could be the unfortunate reality of him.
If I'm the Colts, because right now it's them and the Saints, I think, for the top two teams to land Arch Manning next year. If I'm the Colts, let Daniel Jones do what he does this year. I don't think you're going to win too many games. And then next year you let him go, draft Arch if you're able to, and then he and Anthony Richardson can battle it out going into the season.
Who and Anthony Richardson can battle it out?
Arch.
Oh, sweetie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They can battle it out, quote unquote, but it's like, you see if there's anything there with Anthony Richardson.
If that's really the idea, and
so you're hoping maybe, well, Richardson learned something this year, backing up Daniel Jones, or just there's some sort of development where maybe you don't have to play Arch day one or whatever, but I don't know if anyone's trading for Anthony Richardson around the league.
So that was going to be, okay, that was going to be my question. Because the scenario you presented, there's no chance that's happening.
And he needs development, too. Like Sakarian DeBagley brings up, he's only played 15 games. He's not going to get the development he needs anywhere else around the league, I feel.
Well, so that,
it's like, we're going to wait for Anthony Richardson. He's only going to get that, if so, with the Colts, I think. It's already kind of passed him up.
Man. Really? God. I mean, I'm not... I have a lot of questions about Anthony Richardson. But, like, we're out, huh? Like, he doesn't get enough, like, I mean, Justin Fields he's getting another opportunity here. Anthony Richardson can't get one?
Justin Fields has shown a lot more than Anthony Richardson has. And Anthony Richardson, I don't even know if to say it's fair or not, but he's left the game before. Like, there's concerns about that stuff.
Yeah, and that's almost like the unforgivable sin. You can't quit on your team, especially football. You can't ask out of a game. We'll come back. We will shift our attention. I'm laughing. God, I really feel like this is stupid. I've been working on this all week. We'll shift our attention to the Sacramento Kings. Specifically this year. No. Let's look ahead. There's been a lot of talk about 2027 in Kings discussions this offseason. So I'm going to need you, if you wouldn't mind, to help me work through this. Because I'm going to be honest. There are some things that I just don't understand. It's the final 45 minutes of the week, man. We're happy you're here with us. It's Thielen with Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling Jesse and Casey's pain on a order I'm trying to make. I'm trying to order some food to pick up on the way home. It's like, oh my God, it's like a $50 Chipotle order.
I'm just tough. I was looking through the McDonald's app a few minutes ago.
I don't eat Chipotle very. I can't remember the last time I ordered Chipotle, but it's essentially boiling down to $25 per person is wild. Man, when they said guac is extra, Jesus Christ. Hey, I feel y'all pain, though. I'll never make fun of you guys again. 916-909-1320 if y'all want to hang out, man. We're going commercial free till the top of the hour before we shut things down for the three-day weekend. Hope everybody has some fun things planned. Going to be on the grill a little bit this weekend, hanging out the pool, enjoying the summer. And then we'll be ready. Excited for Tuesday, man. Excited for the NFL season to get underway. Excited to watch football tomorrow morning. Excited that we are, I think, let me give you the exact date. I think we are 1 month away exactly. Hold on. Oh, maybe not. No, we are. We are exactly 1 month away from Media Day, from Sacramento Kings Media Day. And so much talk. This is where I'm going to need y'all help. And the chatty house works too, man. I'm going to be, I got my eyes on the chat. So y'all help me out. And I don't know who started this. I remember specifically, though, James bringing it up. And I remember there's this talk about, as a matter of fact, I think James brought it
up. You were
up
gone that week.
Was it James in Cabo?
Yeah, James was gone that week in Cabo. I was with Kyle, and he brought it up on the Insiders 2027.
And he started talking about 2027. And that has been an echoing theme here throughout this offseason about almost surviving. Just surviving Zach LaVine's contract, surviving DeMar DeRozan's contract, surviving all of these different things, and getting to 2027. Of course, Zach LaVine's contract will be off the books. DeMar DeRozan's contract will be off the books. And I don't know if there's this idea that that just opens things up for you and you can do whatever you want there. You can go acquire a disgruntled star because you have the cap space. You can go sign this free agent. You could go do this. You have all of these things, and you've got, you know, draft picks. You've got full control of your first round picks, and you've got all of these different things, second round picks, all of this stuff. And all you got to do is get to 2027. All right. So remind me of the last time that the Sacramento Kings were involved in a conversation where they could potentially land a so-called disgruntled star, a guy who wants out. I have the answer for you, and I can give it to you. I don't know how far in the conversation they actually were. I don't even know if there was a conversation about this player. But I know that we, as in D'Lo and KC, we told you that a handful of years ago, there were a few teams that Bradley Beal would be willing to waive his no-trade clause for, and Sacramento was one of them. And y'all lost your damn mind over that. You wanted nothing to do with Bradley Beal. And that's fine. That's not the point. I'm just asking you to remember that moment. Bradley Beal, who I think is a good ball player, but I get why a lot of y'all don't love him. He was on the market. He wanted out. He had a no-trade clause. We were told Bradley Beal would waive his no-trade clause to come to Sacramento. Of course, it was a handful of hours. I don't even think it was a day later. I think it was a couple hours later that the Phoenix trade was announced. And here's my man, Sakarin DeBagley, right on cue. Hell no for $50 million. Perfect. Got you. Understood. Completely understood. What players do you think of a high level caliber are going to be available? Because there's one that comes to mind immediately, and you're not going to think he's a high level caliber player anymore, and he's going to be a lot more than $50 million, and I'm talking about that big guy in Philadelphia. No one, I mean, I told you last season, when they announced that Joel Embiid was shutting down and was having surgery, I was frustrated. I was frustrated for him because they couldn't pinpoint what was wrong with Joel Embiid. They couldn't tell you, me, or Joe, hey, here's what's wrong with you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in and we're going to operate on you. Here's what we're going to do. And here are going to be the results. No. There was weeks of conversation that they don't know what's going on with Joel Embiid. They don't know how to handle this. They don't know how to approach this. They don't know what's wrong. And then a couple of weeks later, where they're going to shut him down and he's going to have surgery. Surgery on what? So we weren't exactly shocked when we heard earlier this year that Joel's not progressing really well. You literally cut the man open to put a camera in there to determine what to fix, didn't know what to fix, said he had a scope, closed it up, and told him to get better. But Joel Embiid is going to be available at some point because that contract is crippling. And if he shows a hint of being, we won't even say a great basketball player, we'll say a good basketball player, a fine basketball player. Oh, they're going to put him out there. And I don't know what team could possibly make a trade for a player who's going to make $60 million in a single season. But we're waiting for 2027 when the Kings have money. Again, who do you think is going to be available? And who do you think the Sacramento Kings can actually get in conversations with? That's why the 2027 thing is so funny to me. What are you supposed to do until then? What's Doug supposed to do? What's Scott supposed to do? Are they going to come over here and drink some Baker family wine with us?
When you get to that 2027 tour, are you expecting to make the playoffs then? Are you starting your
But make build? The playoffs with what?
Well, exactly. Or are you just starting your build at that time?
Yeah, it's just this. You know what it feels like to me? Hey, if we just manage the next 2 years properly, we'll be out of debt in 2027. Doesn't mean we're rich. Doesn't mean we're thriving. Doesn't mean we can go buy a new house. Doesn't mean we can go buy a new car. It just means we're out of debt. And now we have more options. Great. What are your options, though? No one has a clue what the landscape of the NBA will look like in 2 years. So this idea that you sit around and wait for 2027 is absurd to me. It always has been. Because there's the biggest issue that plagues the Sacramento Kings right now will still plague the Sacramento Kings in 2027. And it's that they don't have the guy. They don't have the one. They don't have the Cade. They don't have the Paolo. They don't have the Anthony Edwards. They don't have the definitive number one guy, which is why everything you do from now till 2027 will have severe consequences. You've got to manage this roster properly. You've got to find a way to win basketball games. You've got to find a way to not acquire more debt. And you've got to find a way to make sure Keegan Murray can be a cornerstone for your franchise. You've got to find a way to make sure Keon Ellis can be a valuable part of your franchise for years to come. I think Domantas Sabonis can be a cornerstone of your franchise. He's just not the guy. He's going to provide you. He's going to provide you something very valuable on the basketball floor.
Can he be your number two? And if he can't, can you have a 45 million?
He can be your number two. I know. I don't think you feel this way. I don't think Kenny feels this way. I think he can be your number two.
Well, because I feel the number two has to be able to go and get you a bucket if everything fails. Like, that's just where the league is at this point. Like, if Kevin Huerter in the first round can't knock down his three ball and everyone else isn't shooting well, then I need one of my top two guys to go and save us.
Your number one better be really good. If Domas is your number two, your number one better be really good. And that was the problem. I think the Sacramento Kings, at least a couple of years ago, had two really good number twos. Because that's what I think De'Aaron is. That's why I think De'Aaron is going to be great in San Antonio. He is a definitive, unquestioned, will never be bothered with anything else, number two guy.
He's got number one tendencies, though. I mean, he was putting up 30 points in that playoff series. It's just, I'm not trying to be harsh, I swear, but your number two was getting clamped up by Kevon Looney. Yeah.
No, that's not harsh. That's reality. It's a harsh reality. That's exactly what he was.
Like, Domas is an all-NBA player and all that, but I wonder if, like me, I don't think he's a number one or number two, and how good can your team be if you have a $45 million a year third option?
Yeah, and maybe the answer is not very. Maybe the answer is, maybe you're 100% right, and the answer is not very good. They've got to find it, but to me, Domas over the next 2 years... Because I feel like Domas can keep doing the same things. I think Domas can continue to shoot the ball 13 to 14 times a game. I think he could continue to average 19 to 20 points per game. And I think he can continue to average, you know, 12 to 13 rebounds a game. I think he can average a double-double, get the league, you know, be the league leader in rebounding, all of that stuff. I absolutely think he can continue to do that. But what's Keegan Murray doing at the same time? What's Keon Ellis doing at the same time? And those are the two most important questions that you have to answer over the next 2 years while allowing DeMar DeRozan to be DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine be Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is a high-quality NBA scorer. And we could talk about he's not winning basketball, he's not this, he's not that. That's perfectly fine. You want to say Zach LaVine's not winning basketball? Great. No problem. The Kings aren't winning basketball. So give me Zach LaVine to out there, because remember, we're not talking about just winning basketball games. We're talking about winning in the postseason. We're talking about winning championships. When we use the phrase winning basketball, that's what we're talking about. Fine. This isn't a championship contender. Go win me basketball games. And in the process, figure out who else on this team is good. What's Neek after all of this? What's Neek in 2027? God, I imagine a lot of what the Kings are thinking about moving forward lies on what he can do. It lies on what Neek can do and how quickly he can do it. Those same expectations might not be there for Max, but why shouldn't they be? I get he's a second round pick, but yo, he brings a unique element to the game, to a basketball game, and I think he would bring a really unique element to the Kings game. I've said it since he was drafted. I'd love to see him play with Domas. I'd love to see both of them on the floor together. Maybe not for a long stretch of time, but still, I'd love to see them on the floor together. And so when people say 2027, when people say, oh, we're just waiting it out, they're really talking about one thing. They're just finding a different way to phrase it. They're talking about Zach LaVine's contract, and that's it. They very, very literally aren't talking about anything else. I don't even know what DeMar makes next season because it's a partial guarantee. I think it's like 12 million, maybe it's 15. I don't remember. That's not at all what anyone's talking about. All of the framework centers around Zach LaVine's contract. And again, I brought up Joel Embiid for a reason. I hope I'm wrong because I like Joel Embiid and he's been one of the best players in the game for the last 5 years. And when you talk about the top three, four, five players in the league, Joel is up there. It's been him, Jokic, Giannis. That's been the trio. If I told you Joel Embiid played 30 games next year, no one would be surprised. If I told you Joel Embiid played zero games next year, no one would be surprised. And would you be more surprised if I told you Joel Embiid played 75 games next year or Joel Embiid didn't play any? Which one would be more surprising?
If he played 75?
Right. And he makes, again, approaching $60 million. For what, like 3 more years? I think this is the first year of the contract extension he signed that the Philadelphia 76ers absolutely didn't have to offer. They just offered it for good vibes. And his contract, yeah, it kicks in. At an estimate, oh man, I apologize. My calculate, I was all wrong on this. He's due 57.9 this year. He hits 62.5 next year. His contract ends at $67.1 million. There is a very, very realistic chance Joel Embiid doesn't play 75 games over the next 3 seasons, much less this upcoming season. And his contract comes off the books in 29-30. But we sit here and we talk about Zach LaVine as if he has this contract of death, this insurmountable contract of $47.4 and $48.9 million. I have said this before, and I will say this again. I understand we get wrapped up in the things that we read, the things that are tweeted, the things that we hear, all of that different stuff. I will challenge James or anyone else who repeats the line that the Chicago Bulls offered 2 first-round picks along with Zach LaVine to move off of him. That is the most nonsensical thing I have ever heard, and the chances of that being true, I would put it less than 0%. Moving off of 2 first-round picks just to get off Zach LaVine's money, no chance. None. You can be frustrated with the contract. You cannot like the contract. That contract is not death. It's just not. Especially with contracts being what they are. $47.4 million, $48.9 million versus $62 million and $67 million. There's a lot of contracts in between those two numbers that everyone is going to have just a greater difficulty to move. Because if this offseason, and I don't know that it is, I think this offseason is the anomaly. But if this offseason is anything like what we're seeing moving forward, oof, these contracts in these 40 plus, in the 40 plus range, how do you move them? We may have finally landed in the era of immovable contracts. And when you can't move them, does that mean you stop signing them? And you only sign the surefire guy, the Stephs, the bronze, those surefire, can't miss, this is my guy, you sign those deals. I mean, are we seeing it right now? Are we seeing the hesitancy to being able to move off of those dollars right now in Atlanta? 2 years ago, would you have thought there would be questions about Trae Young signing an extension with the Atlanta Hawks? I don't think I would have. I would have just offered a run that they had. And I've never been the biggest Trae Young fan. But, yo, I thought last, I mean, the way he scored last year, while distributing the way that he did, yeah, like, that's special. But what's been the buzz term in the NBA this year? It's been around Malik. It's been around Trae. Too small. Okay, so now we're paying guys off height. All right, word. Okay. All right. But Trae might be the very first. He might be the very first player who is feeling the impact of what feels like a shifting in spending in the NBA. Now, more teams will have cap space next year. Again, it's not 20. Like, I think it's like 10. But that's a lot more than had it this year. Of course, having cap space right now, I think it's 2. I think it's Utah and Brooklyn. And again, it goes back to that 2027 team. The teams that have cap space right now are the Utah Jazz and the Brooklyn Nets. And how do you feel about those two teams? What did those two teams do? What were those two teams able to do with their cap space? 2027 comes along. Oh, God, finally, Zach LaVine's gone. DeMar DeRozan is gone. What are you? The Utah Jazz and the Brooklyn Nets. You're a team sitting around hoping the perfect situation lands in your lap. And what are the chances of that actually happening? Who has it happened for? Hasn't happened for Utah. No one knows what the hell the Utah Jazz are doing. There's no semblance of a plan there. Brooklyn, this is all still relatively new. Brooklyn has cap space. They have picks. If you're in it for the long haul, man, then fine. But I'll ask Kings fans, I'll ask you, is that what you want? Like, is that really how you want to live? Like, do you think, and I know we all like Jordy Fernandez, but do you think Brooklyn has this big, bright future? Because Brooklyn has cap space. Brooklyn has picks. Do you want to be the Brooklyn Nets? I don't know what the right answer to any of this is. That's Scott Perry's job to figure out. That's why Scott Perry gets paid to be the general manager of the Sacramento Kings. He's got to figure this out. He's got those relationships around the league, and that's one of the most important parts of this whole conversation to me, is he's got to use those relationships to get through the next 2 years. And in 2027, you want to have some sort of feel whether Zach LaVine is a part of your future at a cheaper price or he's not a part of your future at all. I don't care. Whatever. But what do you do next? What's the next step moving forward? And how do you position yourself in 2025, in 2026, to be in an attractive position in 2027. Because to me, it's not being bad and accumulating a bunch of draft picks. Like, you, if you can trade and land draft picks, great. But the idea of stripping down your team and having, you know, a multitude of draft picks over the next 7 years without having that player, that's tough. You're talking about a long road. People talk about, well, you draft the guy. You draft that number one. Okay, I hear you. You, man, how many teams miss year after year on getting that number one guy in the draft? You can land a really good player.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you don't land the number one. We used Cleveland as an example the other day. KC brought them up. They didn't draft their number one. Evan Mobley, a really good ball player. But their number one is Donovan. They went and got Donovan through trade. Acquiring the guy is the hardest part of the equation. And then you ask, or at least I do, how does next season compare to this offseason? Because 2027 seems to be just the ultimate cutoff. That's where, no matter what, money is shed. But what do things look like next year when Zach LaVine's 40-some-odd million becomes expiring? What's it look like then when you have a team? Maybe they're good and they need to land a scorer. Or, shoot, maybe you're like Philadelphia and you're just desperate to shed salary. So you acquire Zach LaVine, you send some money back. Maybe the Kings have to hold an extra 20, but you get a first round pick out of it. And that's next year. Like, how is this conversation next year? So it's why anyone who's down on the Kings, I won't argue with you. I won't fight with you. I won't even try to change your mind. I'll just tell you how I feel. I think the Kings' future is bleak at best. Their long-term future is bleak at best. But I think they have a team that can win games this year. And that's kind of a unique, it's a difficult spot to live in. No one wants to be good for a year. Scott Perry doesn't want to be good for a year. He told us as much. He wants sustainable success. And I don't think this roster can bring you that. I don't think this roster can bring you anything sustainable. But could they bring you immediate success? I think they could. What success, though? Better than last year. 42, 43 wins. Maybe I give them 42 to 45 wins. I can absolutely see this basketball team winning that. 42 even feels low to me. I could see this being a 45-win basketball team. Unfortunately, a 45-win basketball team is still a play-in team. So you still have to win your way into the playoffs. And that's always dicey, given we've seen the Sacramento Kings fail the last 2 years in the play-in. So we're just a month away from Sacramento Kings Media Day. And none of these questions are going to be answered in a month. But just the idea of Media Day being a month away is pretty exciting. And, of course, as tradition, the first practice will – I don't think they practice that day. They might practice that night, but I actually think they practice the next day. And then they'll play their first game 8 days after that when the Toronto Raptors are here. The Toronto Raptors are here in Sacramento on October 8th. It's crazy that we can already look at stuff that's happening in October and recognize it's not that far away. We're 6 days away from the start of the NFL season. We've got the Eagles and the Cowboys on Thursday night. We've got the biggest story, you know, of the year in the NFL happening within the last, you know, 27 hours or whatever it's been. And of course, it centers on Dallas. It centers on the Cowboys, which is a perfect lead in to the big game on Thursday. The Eagles are getting their rings. The Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. The Eagles are arguably the best team in football entering the year. But they're going to be talking about Jerry. They're going to be talking about Micah. They're going to be talking about Dak. They're going to be talking about the Netflix documentary. And now football season is here. And every year in football, there's surprises, there's disappointments, there's teams that have these massive turnarounds that you don't expect or didn't expect. There's teams that you were expecting to be good that weren't. And you get a little bit of that every year. The Lions, the team that I'm watching, the team that I'm so curious about is Detroit. I am so curious about Detroit. They're stacked. Their roster is incredible. They lost coordinators. We went over Jared Goff's numbers a couple of days ago. Like, Goff is certified. Like, he's a good quarterback. I think one of the most harmful things that ever happened to Jared Goff was Jeff Fisher made him look like an idiot on Hard Knocks. Like, legit made his starting quarterback look stupid. And the toughest thing, I mean, it's tough. Like, I will feel for Jared Goff forever for this. It's tough when your team says, hey, him and Jameis Winston are damn near the same. What was their coach? Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians says, well, if we don't throw 30 interceptions this year, we could be a Super Bowl team. Tom Brady comes in, doesn't throw 30 interceptions. They go on to win the Super Bowl. Sean McVay, the Los Angeles Rams, say, we have a great football team. We just don't have the right quarterback. They go off and literally swap quarterbacks. Again, something you don't see in the NFL very often. You just swap starting quarterbacks. Jared Goff off to Detroit. Matt Stafford off to Los Angeles. And what happens? The Rams win the Super Bowl. All the while, Jared Goff still performing pretty well. Last year, you talk about surprises and disappointments. Last year, who was the surprise? It was that team in Washington. The Commanders, you might have thought, oh, they're starting to turn it around. I don't think anyone thought to the tune of 12-5. And while I don't want to say it, I kind of do. And I and Jesse and I talked about this earlier. I'm not predicting them to be the surprise team. I'm not predicting them to be the new Commanders. But I'm watching the Giants. Something about that preseason game the other day, whether it's Dart, whether it's just there's a vibe to the New York Giants, I think, for the first time in a long time. Again, I'm not calling that as the Washington team this year. But I'll keep an eye on them. And is there a team that can turn it around the way Washington did? There's not a lot of teams to choose from. It's not going to be New Orleans. It's not going to be Carolina. You got under 500 teams. The San Francisco 49ers are absolutely going to be better than they were last year. Is Arizona? Is that turnaround team Chicago? Is it Caleb Williams' time? They landed the hot coordinator. We discussed that being the job. Like, that's the one of all of the vacancies that are out there. That's probably the one you want because you think you have your franchise quarterback. I think there's some questions around Caleb Williams, but could it be Chicago that has that big turnaround? Tennessee, maybe too early. Jacksonville, maybe. Maybe. Cleveland, no. New England, no. Jets, no. Those are your bad teams right there. The two most likely to have a rags-to-riches story, a rags-to-playoff story, to me, I think, is Jacksonville. Man, I see Las Vegas right there, too. Vegas deserves to be in the conversation. You could put the Raiders in the conversation. I don't know that they're going to be able to do it this year, but you could put the Raiders in that conversation. I mean, Pete Carroll attempting to establish a culture. Geno Smith, a fine starting quarterback. You might be able to have not a 12-5 turnaround, not a full-on Washington Commanders turnaround, but like, hey, got a decent little football team here. I'll put it on Jacksonville, Las Vegas, and I just have to keep my eye on New York. I don't know when Jackson Dart is taking Russell Wilson's job, but he is. And it all starts next week, man. We'll be here to cover it beginning on Tuesday. So excited to cover another NFL season with you, another Raiders season, another 49ers season. We're approaching the best time of the year. Hope you have a wonderful 3-day weekend. Be safe. Don't do anything crazy. Get back here safely with us on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.